Eugene Boring, in his commentary on Revelation, says that to truly understand Revelation chapter 12, you can't just analyze it. Instead, you have to read it out loud with imagination. And so to begin my sermon this morning on Revelation 12, that is precisely what we're going to do. We're going to read it out loud with imagination. And I've got some people here on the front row who are going to help us imagine what Revelation 12 is all about. This should be fun. So let's see how this goes. And so if y'all are ready, here we go. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Here's a crown. There you go. Then she was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Very good. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head, flapping wings apparently too. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child. Who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God. And to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, they fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels began to fight back. But the dragon was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven, and the great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, he was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Good job, guys. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given 2 wings. Here are 2 wings. The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle so she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. And then from his mouth, the serpent or dragon spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. The end. Very good. Tell you, they were good sports, weren't they? They were very good sports. Feel free to go back to your seats if you want. The book of Revelation is a fascinating book. It's a fascinating book because it has scenes like this. Maybe you could tell in the dramatic reading of Revelation 12 that there were five different scenes in the story. If you didn't catch them, let me repeat them. The first scene is that the dragon opposed the woman who was pregnant about to give birth. Scene number two, the pregnant woman gives birth to a baby. Incidentally, that's one reason why I want to preach on Revelation 12 this morning, because it talks about babies. She gives birth to a baby, and the dragon tries to devour that baby, but the baby is snatched up to God and to his throne. Scene number three, there is a celestial war in heaven where Michael and his angels fight against the dragon and his angels. And Michael and his angels win, and they cast down the dragon and his angels to earth. Scene number four, there is eruption of praise in heaven. They begin to sing a hymn. We sang the hymn just now, salvation has been brought down. In Revelation 12, they sang the hymn, Satan has been brought down. That's what they were singing. And then scene number five, that is that the dragon, enraged, begins to pursue the woman and to make war on the woman's offspring. Five scenes to the story in Revelation 12. Well, what does this all mean? Who do all these different people represent? How does this all apply to us? I think the best way to understand Revelation chapter 12 is that this is the redemption story in miniature. And it has four movements. First, there is Israel. That pregnant woman, Anna, didn't really represent Mary, the mother of Jesus. Instead, she represented the people of God, the people of Israel. And in the Old Testament, God made a promise that he would make Abraham into a great nation, and that this great nation, through them, all nations be blessed. But Israel didn't live up to its calling. It was not a light to the nations. Instead, it became like the nations. And so God made a promise to the people of Israel that someday out of them would come a Messiah who would restore them, and it would bring salvation to the world and healing for all nations. And that was the baby that the pregnant woman was carrying, was the Messiah. The second movement is that baby being born, because that baby is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the dragon didn't want that baby to be born and was trying to devour that baby because he knew what that baby came to do. He came to bring salvation and healing and restoration. And if you think back to the life of Jesus, you can think about many different times where the dragon was trying to devour Jesus. Think about when Jesus was born and how King Herod tried to kill all of the baby boys in Bethlehem. Or think about when Jesus went into the wilderness and he was tempted three times by Satan. Or think about how Satan was able to pull away one of his 12 apostles to try to betray Jesus and to discourage him. All of those were attempts of the dragon to try to devour this baby boy, this Messiah, Jesus Christ. But it says in the story that the baby was snatched up to God and to his throne. That one phrase encapsulates the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and the ascension of Jesus. All of it together in that one phrase, that he was able to get away from the dragon and to find his place at the right hand of the Father. And the critical moment where that happened, that Revelation 12 is focusing on, is the cross. And you can tell that it's focusing on the cross because if you'll notice again the hymn that is sung in Revelation 12, in verse 11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It's by the blood of the Lamb. That's how the dragon was defeated, by the cross. That it was at the cross when Jesus suffered and died and was faithful all the way to the end. That was the point when the dragon was defeated. That celestial war between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels, that didn't happen at the beginning of time. That happened at the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross and faithfully suffered for the sin of the world, that was the moment that the dragon was cast down and defeated. Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 2. He says that Jesus disarmed the authorities and the powers through the cross, triumphing over them through the cross. That it was at the cross that Christ triumphed over the dragon and the dragon's angels, and they were cast down at the cross. Well, the result of that is that now the dragon is enraged. And here's where we come to the fourth movement, the church. You and me, we were represented in this drama. We were Anna and her offspring that were being chased over here in the desert. That the dragon is enraged, and because he's enraged, he has chosen to make war on the church here on earth. Because, it says, he knows he only has a short amount of time. That's the story of Revelation 12. It's the redemption story in miniature, going from Israel to Jesus to the cross, and then finally to the church. And I think the power of this story and how it really helps us is that it gives us perspective. Maybe the best way to illustrate this is to use an illustration I heard from another preacher. That ever so often, maybe on your morning commute to work, you find yourself in a traffic jam. And if you're like me, when you're in a traffic jam and cars aren't moving, you start to be a little bit antsy and anxious and maybe even a little bit frustrated. You might even start to wonder, why are we not moving? In fact, you might even say that in the car. Why are we not moving like that? You want to know, what's going on? Is there a car stalled up ahead? Is there some kind of accident? And the police pulled somebody over? Is there construction delay? What's going on? Why are we not moving? Well, thankfully, in the morning, you can turn on your radio, and most radio stations have a morning traffic report. This is where they probably have some helicopter that's hovering over the city, and they can see what's going on in the city and which roads are blocked, which ones are slow, which ones are delayed, and then you can just turn on your radio, and they'll start to tell you what the morning traffic report is. And they'll say, you need to be careful, because on 820, there's an accident. You need to stay off of I-35, because, well, it's I-35. And you need to be careful, because I-20's got construction delays, and all these kinds of things. And because we hear those reports, it doesn't make our traffic jam go away. If you're sitting in the middle of a traffic jam and you hear the report, oh, I-20 is backed up because of construction delay, that does not make your morning, your traffic jam go away. But it does give you perspective on what is happening and why you are stuck where you are. And because you have that perspective, now you can get some, you can have some knowledge about how to handle that moving forward. I think that's what Revelation 12 is all about. Revelation 12 is our heavenly helicopter that's hovering over the earth, and it's radioing down and explaining to us, here's why you are in a spiritual traffic jam. Here's why your life is frustrating. Here's why things are difficult for you. Let me give you the big picture so that you can gain perspective on what is really happening in this world so that you can understand why you're going through what you're going through. And the way that it does that is that it gives us clarity about three specific things. Number one, Revelation 12 gives us clarity or perspective on just who precisely is our enemy. It was very clear in that drama who actually was the enemy. It was Wes Adair. He was the enemy. All of our problems we can blame on Wes, right? And he represented the dragon. The dragon is our enemy. And sometimes we can get confused on that. As someone said, Revelation 12 is actually a commentary on Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the principalities of this dark world. And Revelation 12 reminds us that. That our enemy, the enemy that's creating all the problem in our life or within our church or within the church world over, our enemy is not Donald Trump. Our enemy is not Barack Obama. Our enemy is not Democrats or Republicans or liberals or conservatives. Our enemy is not Muslims. Our enemy is not racists. Our enemy is not your teacher or your principal or your friend. Our enemy is the dragon. Now, the dragon might influence certain people, but they're not the enemy. The enemy is the dragon. And that is very clear from Revelation 12. He is the one who is trying to bring about war and trying to destroy God's people. And it says in Revelation 12 that the dragon is enormous. There was a reason why I chose Wes Adair and Gene Villareal and Zach Brookshire to be the dragon as angels, because those, they're big guys, in a good way. They're big guys. And Michael and his angels were smaller compared to them. And it was to try to prove that if we try to go up against the dragon on our own, we cannot survive. The dragon's too strong. It's too big, too powerful. And when I try to fight against the dragon on my own power, I am going to lose. And so what Revelation 12 is explaining to me is that the enemy who is causing war on my life and on the lives of my family and other brothers and sisters in Christ is the dragon. And he is powerful, and he is big, and he is enormous, and he is mad. But then number two, it helps us to understand what is really going on. What is really going on? That what really is happening is that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. The dragon has decided to make war on the church. That's what's really happening. And we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. And so just because you're frustrated or anxious, or just because you're going through some kind of temptation or some kind of problem, don't think that it is happening just simply because of a series of unfortunate events. It is happening because the dragon is in the middle of it. And so, if your marriage is going through a difficult time, it's not simply happening because you two don't know how to communicate. It's happening because the dragon's in the midst of it. And if you're struggling to overcome your addiction, your struggle is not simply because, man, I just can't get to enough meetings. You're struggling because the dragon is in the midst of it. If a ministry here at church is not blossoming the way we want that ministry to go, it's not simply a matter of, well, we just don't have enough volunteers or we just don't have enough money. The dragon is in the midst of it. The dragon does not want our church to be successful for the kingdom of God. The dragon does not want you or your family to walk close to the Lord Jesus. And he is doing whatever he can to try to stop that. He's in the room now. And he is doing whatever he can. And if you notice, and Wes did a great job of acting, it said the dragon is enraged. He is enraged. He is mad. Because he is mad, he is coming after us. You and me and the church the world over. And we are in the middle of a spiritual battle. Now when I hear that, I can get a little bit frightened. That can be a little bit scary to me to think about dragon coming after me. But Revelation 12 also gives us perspective of what the ultimate outcome is going to be. Revelation 12 reminds us that at the end of the story, the dragon was cast down and the dragon was defeated. Some of you know that I'm a Arkansas Razorback fan. Please pray for us. We could use your prayers at this time. And because I'm a Razorback fan, there are many occasions where it's the fourth quarter and the game's already decided, Arkansas is going to lose, and the only thing that I have to hope for is that maybe my team will keep fighting, maybe earn a few extra yards, and maybe score one more touchdown or two. And Revelation 12 says that's kind of the situation that the dragon is in. That the game's already been decided. The game was decided at the cross of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died faithfully following the plan of God, the dragon was cast down and everything has been decided. But there is a little bit of time left. And so what the dragon's trying to do is he's trying to gain as many yards as he can. He's trying to keep fighting. He's trying to score a few extra points. And he's mad and he's trying to do that the best that he can. But at some point, that clock is going to tick down to zero. And when it hits zero, the celebration that's already started in heaven, it's going to start extending down to earth. And Revelation 12 reminds me of that. And when I know these things, when I listen to my heavenly helicopter that's radioing down these perspectives about who really is my enemy and what really is going on in this world, and what really is going to be the outcome when it's all said and done, that gives me hope. That gives me tremendous hope. It doesn't cause the traffic jam in my life to go away, but it does give me a whole lot of hope. And let me explain how. A few weeks ago, there was a small group that gathered at our community garden to have a remembrance service for Tate Pickett. Tate was the son of Russ and Emily Pickett, who died about a year ago. And they wanted to kind of remember him a few weeks ago. And Emily shared at that remembrance service, she said, "I feel like over the past year, I've been holding two things in different hands at the same time." She said, "In one hand, I feel like I've been holding tremendous, tremendous disappointment over losing my son." She said, "But at the very same time, I feel like in the other hand, I've been holding tremendous, tremendous hope. Hope found through the church and hope found through Jesus Christ." And I thought, that's a really good analogy. That a lot of times in life, as we're a people moving from disappointment to hope, that's where we are. On the one hand, we're holding incredible disappointment and frustration and temptation and all these struggles. But at the same time, we hear stories from Revelation 12 that give us tremendous hope. And no, it doesn't fix all of our disappointments. It doesn't fix all of our frustration. It doesn't cause all the temptations to go away. But instead, it does give us hope so that we can endure those moments. I think that's why Revelation 12 was written. I've said many times in this series that the book of Revelation fundamentally was a letter written to a group of churches in Asia Minor. And this group of churches were in the middle of a cultural crucible, where they were being threatened with suffering if they held on to their faith, and they were being tempted to compromise and give up their faith. And how are they going to navigate this cultural crucible? They need to overcome, but how? And John writes this drama, tells this story of redemption to them. And no, it doesn't fix their cultural crucible. It doesn't cause the suffering to go away. It doesn't cause the temptations to go away. But what it does do is it gives them perspective. And it helps them understand the enemy that they're facing is not Rome. The enemy they're facing is not their neighbor. Their enemy is the dragon. And it helps them understand that what they're going through is not just some kind of social, economic, political crisis. What they're going through is a spiritual battle. And that the dragon has made war on them. And it helps them understand that the ultimate outcome is that there's going to be victory. And if they can just endure, if they can just hold on, if they can just keep walking the path of following the Lamb, at some point, they're going to experience victory because the game's already been decided. They just have to hold on until the time runs out. They just need to follow the Lamb. And that's the message of Revelation 12. It's the message to Christians that whatever you're going through, to hold on and to endure and to keep following the Lamb, because eventually, you will overcome. Through the power and the blood of the Lamb, you will be victorious and you will have victory. I want you to imagine with me that it's the college football playoff championship and Arkansas's in the game. Okay, just go with me here. I know this is fantasy, but just go with me. And we're all on Arkansas's team. And it's the fourth quarter. And we're far ahead. In fact, we're so far ahead that the coach has already taken out the starters and putting in the second team. We're so far ahead that everybody is relaxed on the sideline. We're joking. We're laughing. In fact, the offensive linemen have already gone over to the Gatorade bucket because they're getting ready to give the coach a Gatorade bath. I mean, we're almost to the end of the game. And all of a sudden, we notice that one of our players, one of us in here, starts walking across the field to the other side. And so we yell out, we say, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you going?" And they turn around and they say, "I've decided to change teams." And we say, "Why are you going to do that? Why are you going to change teams?" And they begin to tell us all their reasons. They say, "Well, my philosophy for football, I think, just lines up a little bit better with this other team than it does with Arkansas's. I think the other team's uniforms just look a lot nicer. Just look prettier. The sports drinks that they drink on their sideline, I've heard, taste really, really good, and I want to go over there and drink some of those. They've got a good athletic training staff, and I've also heard that their conditioning is not near as demanding as ours has been. And so I just think I would fit in better with this other team. I think we would have, be a better match. I think I would feel better. I think it would make me happier. And so I just want to go be a part of this other team. What would you say? You'd say, are you crazy? Are you crazy? It's the fourth quarter. There's only a couple minutes left. We're getting ready to win. We're getting ready to be champions. Why would you want to join the losing team? If you can just hold on for just a little bit longer, we're going to be hoisting the trophy up and celebrating. Don't quit now. And yet there are some of us in this room. Some of us have friends and family in this room. That subtly and slowly, that is precisely what we're doing. We're walking across the field to the other team. And we're doing it in a number of ways. We're doing it by choosing selfish behaviors instead of following Christ-like behavior. We're doing it because we don't care about the mission of the kingdom of God anymore. All we care about is our own selfish mission. We're doing it by picking up bad patterns, using bad language, treating people harshly and mean instead of treating people with kindness and the love of God. We're doing it by adopting the ways of the world instead of following the ways of God. We're doing it in so many different ways, but subtly there are some of us who are walking across the field to the other team. And John wrote Revelation 12 to say to all of us that are thinking about that or are possibly doing that, what are you doing? Are you crazy? If you can just hold on for a few more minutes, just a little bit longer, we're going to be champions. The game's already been decided. If you can just follow the Lamb, we're going to have victory soon. And there are some of us this morning that we needed to hear that. The first step to choosing that you're going to be on the Lamb's side is repentance and baptism. In baptism, the blood of the Lamb cleanses us from our sin. And in that moment, we are declaring, I'm on the Lamb's team. I'm on the winning team. I'm on the victorious team. And if you're ready to take that step, I hope you will this morning. But there are some of us who we know, if we're really honest in our hearts, we've been walking across the field. We've been compromising our beliefs and trying to join the other team. And we need to come back. We need to repent of sin. We need to recommit our life to Jesus. We need to recommit ourselves to the Lamb and say, I'm all about the Lamb. I'm all about following the Lamb and being a part of His team. That's the team I'm a part of. And let me just be honest with us here. I mentioned earlier the dragon's in this room. And the dragon's whispering in your ear. And he's saying things like, don't listen to Steve. He's extreme. He's a preacher. He's going to say stuff like that, you know, from time to time that's going to kind of touch you a little bit. But don't listen to him. You know, you're good. You're good. Everything's all right. You're doing fine. You're where you need to be spiritually. Dragon's saying things like that to you. You don't need to tell anybody. You don't need to share any struggles with anybody. Just keep it to yourself because you're all good. And let me encourage each one of us this morning, don't listen to the voice of the dragon today. Listen to the voice of the Lamb. And if there's something in your life that you need to get right, if you're going through something difficult and you need to share that with the church family, if you need to repent of some sin, don't let the dragon win this battle. Instead, let's choose, I'm going to follow the Lamb and I'm committed to being on His team. And if we can help you in this spiritual battle that we're struggling in, it's just a little bit longer, folks. We're going to have victory. We can help you. We're going to have ministers and elders around this auditorium at this time. We'd love to pray with you, encourage you. Just walk to one of us. Let us help you. Please come now. Together we stand and sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. Come to thee, O Lamb of God. whose blood can cleanse each sorrow. Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Just stand.